This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. On this archive edition, we're getting an early start on celebrating James Brown's birthday, which is coming up on Sunday. He says he's turning 65, but some sources say he's really turning 70. The best-known saxophonist to emerge from the Godfather of Soul's horn section is Maceo Parker. Parker has also played with George Clinton, Bootsy Collins, and the JB All-Stars. I spoke with Maceo Parker in 1989. One of his most famous solos is on the James Brown 1967 hit Cold Sweat. Ow! I've been reading James Brown's memoir, and he writes about the time when he hired you both, and he says, I really wanted Melvin, but I figured I had to hire Maceo, too, if I wanted to get his brother. Of course, Maceo turned out to be fantastic. Did you realize at the time that he was hiring you to get your brother?
Yeah. You see, he hadn't heard me play. And, you know, I guess he figured if I could play somewhat close to, you know, what he heard my brother do, then maybe I would be okay and would fit in, you know, fit in as well. But he said, he asked me, he said, do you play baritone saxophone? And I said, yes, sir, you know, with all that, you know, hesitation. And then he said, do you own a baritone saxophone? And I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, tell you what, if you can get a baritone saxophone, then you also, you know, have a job.
Didn't have a baritone?
Did not have a baritone, but I had played baritone once.
What were you playing, alto or tenor at the time?
I was playing alto and tenor, but I think tenor may have been my major at the time.
Mm-hmm. What were the first things James Brown told you about what he wanted from the horn section, what he wanted from you as a musician?
The first thing, you know, had to do with the fact that I played baritone. And then when he heard me play baritone, he just said, "Okay, it seems like you can come up with, you know, your own part." Because I would listen to what he would tell the other horn players to play, and then I start playing something without him telling me anything. I start playing something, and then it sounded okay, it sounded great. But you know, if you're gonna go into how I actually, you know, start doing a solo thing, how that came about, the guy doing the solo had to take off for like, I guess a couple of weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, and it was a rumor as to it's sort of like an uproar kind of a thing, as what we're gonna do now. The guy who plays the solo can't work for 3 weeks. What we gonna do? Should we hire somebody? And I said, Mr. Brown, I can do that. I can play, you know, the sax solos. He said, well, okay, well, I'll give you a chance. You know, I can, you know, I give you a chance, and I was playing solo ever since.
Baby, 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 I'm on a.
What did James Brown tell you that he expected from you on stage in the way, you know, how you dressed, what kind of movements you did?
Well, I had been to a couple of shows. In fact, James Brown and his group was one of the people who I admired, you know, at that time. And I could tell that he was a little bit strict on dress and mood of character and all this kind of thing. And if you can notice and kind of, you know, kind of jot down things about a group when you visit a group, you kind of sort of know and learn what to expect without, you know, the person actually telling you that. But once I got hired, or we got hired, you know, you got to be on time. You got to have your uniforms and stuff got to be intact. You got to have the bow tie. You can't come up without the bow tie. You can't come up without the cummerbund. Your shoes got to be, your patent leather shoes we wearing at the time. You got to be greased. You know, you just got to have this stuff. This is what I expect. And that was okay.
Did you get to, like, if you left the band, did you get to keep the costume?
No. No, he bought the costumes, he bought the shoes. And for some reason, if you decide to leave the group, please leave, my uniforms with somebody.
When James Brown started playing funk, he started putting the accent on the first beat. When did he start telling you about the one in his music and putting the emphasis on the one?
He always liked to have a heavy one. That's what he felt. That was his style. Gonna have a funky good time. That's where the one is, like right there.
Was it hard for you to pick up on that, or did it seem natural?
It was hard when I had to solo, in that I'm used to hearing the accented beat being on two. Like, if I would have done it, it would be gonna have a funky good time. Two and three and four. That's not normally how everybody was recording, and you could hear easily. I think their ear is easy to hear two and four, and that's where you clap. That's where the backbeat is normally.
Right.
You know, ding to that, like that, two and four. But this was one. It was, and at first, like I said, at first it was a little awkward. But you know, we became used to it.
Hit it. How you feel, brother?
Feeling good.
You feel good?
Feeling good. Improving.
Play so much bone, brother. How you feel, man? Call your name. I don't want no people to know you're in here. How you feel, fella? Hey, yeah. Jam! Sure getting down. Look at him! Ha. We're gonna have a funk good time. 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 Let's take them up, Fred.
Is it hard work working for the hardest working man in show business?
It was hard, but it was rewarding and it was fun, because you know you're working with somebody who has this title, hardest working man in show business. That means you gotta do your part. You gotta keep up, and you never want him to say, "Hey, man, you know, if I can do 10, 15 splits a night, you know, at least you guys can do play the little vamp or whatever it is, you know, for 45 minutes."
Maceo Parker recorded in 1989. He's currently on tour. His new album, Funk Overload, is scheduled to be released in August. He performs in Chicago tonight, in Iowa City tomorrow, and Minneapolis on Monday.